You're listening to Not So Live from Astro G, brought to you by the Florida Orange Growers Association. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein. With me, as always, is...
Your buddy, Mike the Ghoul, here with a couple other friends today.
We do. We have friends in the booth today. We are doing an interview, something we haven't actually done for over a season now, I think, on the show. We have in the booth with us Jay Scheidel and Oz Lodo. Those are their online names. I don't know if they actually want to go by anything other than that. They're welcome to. But as is always, keep your anonymity to yourself if you so desire. And welcome, guys.
Hey. Hey, thanks for having us.
Hey. So why don't you introduce yourself so they can recognize whose voice is where and we don't get confused?
Why would we do that? Well, yeah, I'm Jay Scheidel. I do want to keep it this way. I am a teacher in real life, so I try to keep my anonymity a little bit away from online presence.
That's fair.
Yeah, hi.
I am Oz Lodo. I go by Tyler in real life. I don't have to keep myself anonymous. No one cares what I do in the real world.
So we are...
I just want students finding me.
No, I get you. We are all friends from the Final Fantasy Randomizer community, as are most of the people that come on the show for interviews. I have a limited pool of people, and I grab who I can when I can. So, but you guys, specifically, I was inspired to do this interview for you guys because you started your own little podcast, vidcast show for Final Fantasy Randomizer. The OJ Power Hour, thus the orange juice jokes I was making earlier, and not related to the former football player, former star, movie star, former accused killer, former actual criminal, now dead person, OJ Simpson.
Formerly alive.
Formerly alive person, yes.
Ironic that was today.
I can't. The laugh I got at. Well, yeah, I'm first of all, I'm sorry. You know, I mean, say what you want about him. Rest in peace. Blah blah blah. But like, the laugh I got today out of him passing away and knowing that we were doing the OJ Power Hour today together just made me just giggle a little bit inside.
I mean, I want to talk to you guys about the show, but I feel like now that we've brought it up, there's no way we can't address that elephant in the room. So, the O.J. Simpson trial. Let's, you know, it's been, what, 30 years? Why not be topical about this? That was such a weird time.
I remember watching it in sixth grade, I think, or eighth grade, maybe, and the teachers pulled the TVs in, and we were watching in the classroom when they were sending out the verdict, and I'll never forget, I heard one of the teachers say, "I can't believe he got away with it." I was like, I was too young to really get it, but I was like, oh, okay, and now I understand.
I mean, there were a lot of comedians back in the day that were joking about that, and the black comedians going, "Yeah, we finally got away with something once, you know." All the white people get away with it all the time, but yeah, that was
we're gonna make you feel old and say, "Yeah, I was six."
Oh my god.
I'm the oldest person here. I'm pretty sure I was in middle school at that point, so yeah.
Middle school.
It's weird because you go back and you think, yeah, he played for two different football teams and he was in like the Naked Gun movies and he was starting to build up his like comedy movie career. And yes, yeah. No, absolutely should be tarred and feathered for the thing that everyone knows that he did, but he still managed to get away with it, the murder of his ex-wife and her boyfriend. But it's also weird that that's the only thing we talk about now for him, because he had this huge career before then. And we don't talk about mostly the fact that he then got arrested later for trying to steal back his own, like, memorabilia and shit from somewhere, and that was what put him in jail. All we talk about is the fact that he got away with murder.
It's an interesting thing.
And the car chase. The white Ford Bronco. That's just iconic at this point.
Yeah. Literally watched it on BBC this morning.
See, this is what I'm saying. He dies, and the first thing they do is go, "Let's go to this white Ford Bronco."
Yeah.
Really?
I saw several memes today that were like, if the funeral procession isn't this right here, cops chasing a white Ford Bronco, it's a missed opportunity. And I was like, you know what? You're not wrong.
Oh, yep. My God.
Yep. I took the words right out of my mouth. I was like, I saw that, and I was like, yep, I'm going with that.
Let's do that. It just works.
It does. It really does.
So you guys are Oz Lodo and Jay Scheidel. That's the reason for the OJ. There is no other reason despite weird timing. You started 2 weeks before he died, unrelated. So what inspired
you? We talked about it briefly.
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah, you did. However briefly, what inspired you guys to do your show?
Oh, my. Well, it was a stupid joke.
It was a joke. It started off because we were on the winter tournament planning committee. And that room, once we got our ideas down, it sort of went sideways a lot. Like, we would go into random conversations, talk about random things, make jokes, and it was kind of fun. And I can't remember. I think it was me that brought it up. I think I'm the one that made the initial joke, and I don't remember why I said it.
So, but I looked it up the other day when we started our thing, and that was the day that I had the flu.
Yes.
And so I was homesick, and I made a comment about being high on NyQuil or something like that, and you made jokes on, we just need to have a comedy hour with us, you know, and it all started with that.
Yeah, and then it was like, oh, this is, and then I remember thinking about it, it's like, I'm O, you're J. Oh, this is going to work out so well. We'll be the OJ Power Hour. And at that point, it was kind of just, you know, well, let's make a joke about it. You know, we're not necessarily serious about it, but if there's a push for it, I don't see a problem in doing it. So, you know, towards the end, I know Jay can back me up on this. There was kind of a little bit of sadness that the winter tournament planning committee room was closing down.
Yes.
We had a lot of fun in there, and there was a lot of good times and a lot of fun conversations. And I think we kind of decided to push for it towards the bonus race at the very end. It was like, you know what? Like, this is shutting down.
Why not? Why not?
You know, and it was really, we had to reach out to the other admins at the time and say, look, we would like to do this. Would you let us do this?
I don't even know if there was much reaching out. It was just like a, hey,
maybe.
See what happens when you ask nicely, nice things happen.
What? Never.
No. So once we decided that we were going to go with this and we were going to run with it, I think Jay is very fond of saying it was, what, 3 days?
It was 3 days from the time that we got the planning room created until Danny did the announcement. And in that time, let's see, we had like 20 guests already figured out what we're going to talk about, a blueprint lined up with it. We had all the background art, all the stuff like that. We had found a theme song for it. Like, oh my.
Yeah, we went, as soon as we got the green light, we took off like a shot. We kept going. Or in this case, took off like a white Ford Bronco.
Yeah. Oh,
well,
oh, bring it back around.
Well played. Oh. Yes.
But no, it was. You guys seem to just have some natural chemistry between the two of you for this.
I'll agree.
It was all that text conversation, just going stupid places. Like, I know we had an entire day talking about like healthcare. We had an entire day talking about like taxes or something. Like, we talked about everything, that stupid channel.
Yep. It evolved. Once we got like, okay, are the flags set? Yep.
Okay,
right.
Here we go.
Let's just talk about random stuff. And at the same time, I think a big part of it was Jay teaching me the ropes in how to do restreaming. Like, once he sat down and once he taught me what was going on, I was like, okay, this guy's got the tech savvy. He knows what he's doing. Like, this could go. Like, because I mean, I'm still a junior restreamer. I admit I'm not the best at it.
You've got as many as the rest of us by now.
well, this is back when the joke was first started. Back then, I was still very junior at it, and I hadn't. Up to the fall league, I'd only ever been on comms for a single race. So, winter tournament and with the help of Jay, kind of broke me out of that. So I was like, okay, people know my voice. People have come to know me around the server. I might as well see if I can, you know, push something new.
And now they know your faces too, since you actually do like webcams on your show.
Yeah, we were like, what do you want to watch? Like, do we just make this an audio podcast? Do we do things? We wanted to have, like, maybe showing the game occasionally or showcasing, like, other communities. And if we're going to have a video aspect to it sometime, do you do a video aspect to it all the time or not? So I thought it kind of felt natural.
Yeah, and when we talked about that, and I was like, yeah, that has to be the way it is. I mean, no one... I don't think anyone really wants to stare at a solid screen with just black on it for an hour. But if you have people on and, you know, you have some, you know, animated faces, and it does put a face to the voice that everyone's heard. I mean, you and I have calmed many, many a racist, both separately and together. And people are now know who we are.
Well, and like I said, for me, it was the fact that we were thinking about having any video at all. Because it's like, okay, if you know it's a normal podcast, like, hey, what we're doing right now, you know, sure. You know it's this, you put it on the background, you listen to it while working or doing something like that. But if you're ever going to say, hey, watch this, you can't have that randomly happen. Expect people to be watching episode 30, but not episode 20.
Episode 30, Jay, we're all right.
Hey, I'm looking in the future here.
It does get away from you real quick.
It will.
Started this podcast 7 years ago. I didn't think it'd be going for 7 years, but, you know, you get that inertia going, and it just kind of continues.
That's a good point.
Snowball effect. Things just kind of roll once you get them going.
Totally.
Hey, absolutely.
As long as we don't annoy everyone with it, we'll keep going.
That's it right there. I mean, I got to say, like, the community as a whole has really, like, come out and supported the show. I was blown away by, even after the first episode, people were reaching out. They were posting in the channel. They were talking about stuff. And they were submitting questions that we could ask. And it was good all around.
I just love that our general channel also changes topic about every day or two. Like, we've had everything going on, just that general channel, too. It's like, yeah, this was winter planning for us.
That's exactly what it was. It was just, you know, so far I believe it's gone into music and food, which are both things that the Winter Turn Replanning channel devolved into.
Well, since you've brought it up, let's discuss music. What is your music choices?
Ooh. Oh. So are you looking for current, or are you looking for just overall?
I just asked the question. You raise stuff and we'll debate.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I mean, my music taste is varied. There is very few things I can't listen to. I can't do country music. I've tried. I just can't.
Same.
And I can't do a lot of gangster rap, like early 80s rap, like Tone Loc and stuff like that. Fantastic. Just hilarious, great stuff. As of recently, what's been on my recent playlist? Other than some video game soundtracks, like I can't say how great Hotline Miami had for a soundtrack, and Hotline Miami 2, just fantastic for when you're just running cable all day and you just need something to space out on. But yeah, I've also gone and recently it's been a lot of 80s new wave mixed with heavy metal and German industrial. So yeah, it's everywhere. It is. Literally everywhere.
What an interesting Spotify playlist that must be.
Yeah.
If I look at it right now, it's just like, how much scattershot is on here?
Like, all right. Favor, keep this up for 8 months, and then at the end of the year, let's check back on your Spotify most plays. I'm dying to know.
I can certainly do that. I believe that the last time it popped up, the number one song was Susie and the Banshees' Your City Lies in Dust. And I think number two was Deutschland by Rammstein. So there you go.
Oh, I saw Rammstein in concert 2 years ago. Amazing show. Worth.
I have seen them as well about 10 years ago or 11 years ago in Montreal. And it is so worth the price of admission.
Yeah, the pyrotechnics and the theatrics are amazing.
We were probably a good 100 feet away from the stage, and you could still feel it. Fire. Yep. It was awesome.
It's pretty cool.
Jay, your music?
Oh, okay. So I was going to tell him to get out of my head, because literally the only two that I cannot listen to is country and rap. So
that's fair. That's pretty much on my mind.
I am from the southern United States. There's country music all around me. Like, oh my gosh, so many people like were born here with it. I can't stand the music. Pronounce the letter A correctly and we'll talk. But if I'm going to default to something, I am a musical theater kid. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't necessarily grow up doing it, but I can name most of the, like, hey, name this tune within so many beats or whatever. Like, yeah, give me musical theater any day.
Nice.
Fair. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the Rocky Horror Picture soundtrack.
we'll call that one musical theater adjacent.
Yes, why not?
It totally is, but yeah. And recently, I've been listening to a lot of covers, and there's a YouTube artist I've really been liking called Melinda that I listen to a lot of her stuff.
Okay, nice.
So, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's the music industry is in a weird place right now anyway, just because of online streaming cutting into everything else and everyone diversifying further. And I mean, I grew up on grunge, so that became modern rock and everything else, and then most of that died off. And it's not like there aren't artists still making rock, it's just it's so much harder to get into it now and find
it's
the artists.
Different.
Yeah.
It's different, you know, and music's evolved, and that's kind of what it does, you know, for better or worse. And then it comes back to its roots every now and again, sooner or later. But like, yeah, to your point, like it just, you know, cue up, you know, Twisted Sister from like 1980 and cue up anybody from now and rock in the same genre and they sound nothing alike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I don't really listen to hair metal. I stick to stuff that from like 1992 onwards when I'm doing rock just because of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is still... at this point, classic rock, which just makes me feel like I've visibly aged every time I think on it.
Don't say that. Classic rock is still 60s and 70s.
But not when you listen on radio. They're like, you're bringing you the classic rock hits of the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. I go, no!
I know.
Yeah. No!
You hear like Nirvana on classic rock, and I want to cry.
Don't give me audio arthritis already. Come on.
Classic rock is like the Eagles and Rolling Stones.
Yes,
and...
yes.
No.
Why are the Eagles classic rock, though? I understand they're old, but there's nothing classic about them.
No. I have to agree with Dark Moon on that. I really do.
They fall into like that art rock genre for me. Yeah. You know, not quite like, you know, Led Zeppelin art rock or Tool, but like. That, like, you know, try to do a 7-minute song, have a message, and it's like fine, I guess.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
I mean, if it
Hotel California is a good song on its
that's
own.
A good song.
Yeah, that's a good song on its own. Yeah. It's their one song I can sit there going, yeah, okay, the Eagles have something. I can understand it. Yeah. My favorite factoid about them is I think it's the number one album of all time at this point, is the Eagles' Greatest Hits. Beaten Michael Jackson's Thriller at this point. And the one song not included on that album is Hotel California.
What a fun fact.
Why bother buying the album then?
It's because everyone expects Hotel California to be on there, but the album came out before Hotel California was even released. So,
that's hilarious. Yeah. How do you have a greatest hits record before your greatest hit?
Before your only hit that anyone can be like, what do the Eagles do again? Like, other than Hotel California? Like, what?
There's a couple of good ones, but I mean,
I don't like the Eagles, so I can't. I can't name that many. It was not my thing. I could never. As individual solo artists, I like Joe Walsh. His solo work is hilarious because he acts like Joe Walsh. Mm-hmm. And what's the drummer's name? Totally forgotten.
More about the Eagles than I do at this point because Hotel.
Don Henley. It's Don Henley. Don Henley.
Henley.
His solo stuff's not bad either.
It's a name I recognize. Yeah, that means that there's something there.
Because he's the one that he sings on Hotel California.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's like, okay, you know, he's got at least some talent for songs writing. Like, okay, cool.
Oh man, I just had to look it up. You're right. The greatest hits is 1971 to 1975. Hotel California, 1976.
Isn't it great? Oh, it's the dumbest damn thing. But everyone's going out
easy.
There buying.
That's
it.
A good song. Yeah. Take it easy. Yeah.
Take it to the limit.
But here's the thing. This is the thing that we haven't really discussed on here before. Is that really better than Thriller? Like,
No. I mean, Thriller was a game changer just for the MTV music video alone.
Yeah.
There's like four or five bangers on that album alone, because that was like peak Michael Jackson. Without him even realizing he was going to be peak Michael Jackson at that point. It's just legitimately good. There's some crap from his early career I can live without. Pretty Young Thing is barf. Billie Jean, Beat It, and Thriller itself, you get those on a single album, you already have something like instant classic right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I legitimately think that Bad is the better album, but like, he over-engineered that one and people didn't buy it as much as he expected, and then he went crazy. But he went crazy. But Thriller is legitimately good.
Yeah. I had to look this up because my favorite band will always be Pink Floyd.
Okay.
Nice. They are. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, how much did they sell? And it's like, how did they sell less than the Eagles' greatest
hit? That's
so bad.
That's just it. Why the Eagles? Like, okay, you like Hotel California. I'm not going to argue with that. You didn't pay attention to what the track list was, and you bought the best of the Eagles, and you're like, oops. Well, that was silly of me, because it's not the best of them. Their best was something that came out after. But, like, how do people keep doing it? Like, what is it about the Eagles that inspires every motherfucker to go out and they go like, hey, I'm gonna buy this album, you know?
No.
They're easy to remember. That's about it.
That's gotta be it. Like, I guess.
I've seen that album cover, like, in my uncle's collection. Oh, yeah. So clearly it does sell. I know that like album crazy. Cover when I pulled it up. I'm like, I know this.
If you're sitting there like going, I like 70s rock, you automatically just come with a collect, like, an album of the Eagles. It just spawns. Like, you rub a couple different albums together and the Eagles pops out, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, that's like a new age meme that's like, all right, now here's Wonderwall, and someone just starts playing guitar out of nowhere. Right, here's Hotel California.
Yeah, here we go. If you put enough rock of the 90s together, then suddenly Oasis just magically appears. I didn't program any Oasis on this playlist. How did this show up?
God, I hate that band.
But here's the thing. Fun factoid about Oasis. They actually released an album of both the brothers fighting each other in the studio, and it charted in the UK.
That's amazing.
That does not surprise me.
I mean, they were huge. Like, they were legitimately huge here, but they were stupidly huge in their home country for years after.
They I can't remember the name of the album, but yeah, it is literally just an interview they did where they end up yelling at each other and beating the piss out of each other on tape.
I don't know, I'd kind of listen to that. I think I actually would. That's the kind of train wreck that would just be fun to pop in and listen to. Oh, wow. Yeah.
And here I am with the one concert I wanted to go to. I finally got to go to in August. Like, I got to see Billy Joel live. That was the highlight of my life, you know?
Nice.
Hey, man, nothing wrong with that, except he'll probably skip over playing We Didn't Start the Fire, because I think he hates that song.
Oh, yeah.
No, it was in the encore.
It was?
Yeah, it was in the encore.
He hates playing that
he
song.
He hates
That's
that
true.
Song so bad.
He hates that.
It's just overplayed. It's overplayed.
It is.
I agree with that.
Yeah. It's a great song. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, I can imagine playing that thing thousands of times in a concert. You know what? I'm good.
It's a great spoken word essay with some guitaring behind it. Okay.
Sure. And the Fallout Boy redo of that is pretty good, actually, too.
No, the one band that I would probably go and see again, because I don't really do a lot of concerts anymore. They've gotten so hideously expensive and like to a dumb point. Like, they weren't cheap when I was back in college, but they're 2 to 3 times as much. And I'm sitting there going, okay, but I have all your albums. So what am I getting out of this deal? But
that was Billy Joel, because it was like a 6-hour drive from us. So we're like, okay, so we got to go. We got to get a hotel too, plus the concert ticket, plus like, okay, let's make a weekend of it. So we're not just going to go to McDonald's or something. We went to a nice dinner, you know.
Nice. Yeah. That's a good way to do it.
A big weekend fast.
Yeah, that's a
That's
good
one
way.
Of those core memories, though. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to hang out.
Yeah, it was.
That's
like,
awesome.
It was great.
Like, when my wife and I went to New York to see Distant Worlds for the first time, that's what we did. You know, we made a weekend out of it, made a memory. It didn't just like take a train and go for an hour, you know. It's a thing. And I approve.
I've seen Nine Inch Nails 3 times, and I would probably go see them again. I would also go see Chevelle, because Chevelle just has an awesome stage presence.
They sound exactly the same live like they do on their record.
Yeah, but they have such energy while they're doing it. It's crazy. Yeah. They're so good on stage.
I would love to go see them. Mm-hmm. Their songs are fantastic. Mm-hmm. By the way, in case you're curious, it's called Wibbling Rivalry is the album.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's Oasis. So good.
There's a Liam track and a Noel track.
when I worked at a radio station, Chevelle was just coming out with their first album. Point Number One was their hit and all that. And I think they were just coming off of being on a Christian contract, because that was who was willing to pick them up. There's a lot of bands that start off on Christian rock, and even if they aren't Christian, they take the contract, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. So, and they've... they've gone a long way since then. They've become one of my favorite bands because they are just consistently good, both on stage and on their albums.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. A friend of mine introduced me to them. I was like, well, where has this been all my life? Like,
right?
Wow. Letters from a Thief, The Red, The Grudge. Yeah. Like, just so many good songs. And you can definitely hear there's an influence of Tool in their music.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
But not so much that it feels like they're just ripping Tool off. It's like, no, I can hear it, but you're doing your own thing, and that's fantastic.
Yeah, when I had a band, I wanted to do some covers of their stuff at one point, and my guitarist was like, I am not buying another guitar just for them, because they do some weird tuning on one or two of their key strings.
Yeah.
And so you basically have a guitar just for their albums or their songs and nothing else, because you don't want to have to like retune everything for 5 minutes in the middle of a performance.
Nobody wants to do that. No. Not at all.
No. But no, I love their stuff. I think they're great. Nine Inch Nails has a great, like, stage show, too. I caught them in support of The Fragile. They did that one with Jane's Addiction, and I stuck around just for the Nine Inch Nails portion of that, because fuck Jane's Addiction. I hate their music so bad. I know people love them, but they're the grunge rock act that I just cannot stand.
I have to agree with you on that. I could never. When their music used to come on, I was like, I'm just gonna change the station. I can't do that. No, I'm sorry.
When I had to play them, that was the time where I'd pop the music on and go upstairs and go hit the convenience machine for like, you know, a candy bar and a soda before I came back down to play the next ad break. Like, food. You mentioned food too. Let's get into food. I think the general accepted question to start off with in the Final Fantasy Randomizer community. I do have other questions as well, but you raised a couple topics, so let's do these first. Sandwich. Sure. Favorite sandwich.
That's easy None. For me.
Okay.
None? Really? None?
None.
Wow. Really? That's a bold statement. We'll come back
to this. Not even like a peanut butter and jelly? Something simple.
Oh, I mean, I'll eat them, but I won't go to, like, hey, you want to go grab a sandwich? Eh.
that, you know what?
Interesting.
That's interesting. It is. Mine? No, it's always going to be the Reuben.
Nice.
Reubens are good.
I mean, a good especially because we're close to Montreal here. Mm-hmm. A good Montreal smoked meat, sauerkraut, Thousand Island dressing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, can't go wrong with that. Can't go wrong.
I mean, I won't deny what Jay is saying though. Like, you take me to a normal place like Jimmy John's or Jersey Mike's or something, and I struggle to figure out what it is. I'm willing to tolerate Subway because they have so many sauces. Like, they're not that their ingredients are great, but they have a lot of different flavors you don't normally get on a sandwich. But on its own, like, unless I'm feeling really lazy, a sandwich isn't my first choice, but it is the question.
And I am a pretty picky eater. Like, I am privileged enough, or whatever you want to say, to be able to, like, choose what I want to eat. And I'm going to avoid Subway because I don't necessarily care for a sandwich. I'm not going to go do it. Like, I will if I just got ham and cheese or whatever. Like, sure, whatever. But it's not first, second, or third on my list.
Did you guys see a few years ago when Subway was going through all that trouble because their bread couldn't be qualified as bread because it had too much sugar?
Somewhere between sugar and a yoga mat.
Yeah.
But here's the funny thing. See, as a Canadian, we have a consumer show called Marketplace. And they did a study on Subway's tuna and found out that it is not tuna.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep.
And that caused a huge controversy up here with Subway Canada. And it was just like, oh. And after that, I haven't really gone back a lot.
It's fair.
Yeah.
I used to really love Quiznos.
Those commercials are nightmare fuel.
Oh, they are. But no.
Oh my god, yes.
They had the same thing that Subway had. They had like a bunch of different flavors and sauces. I love flavor. Yeah. Flavor is what I'm there for. And because they had like fresher ingredients and a variety of stuff, I really liked them for a while. And then, you know, that company ran itself into the ground. So.
Yeah.
Sure did. Yeah, we used to have 3 or 4 of them in my in this area around the city. There is one left. Just one.
Well, you even have one. I haven't seen a Quiznos in forever. I also haven't seen a Pita Pit in forever, and I used to love them too. Same deal. Just
Jimmy John's is everywhere now.
Yeah,
we don't have that.
We've got them.
You're lucky.
We just you'll bringing up food, we had a Popeyes open, the first Popeyes in Atlantic Canada. The line was so long that the wait time was 6 hours, and they actually delayed an ambulance heading to the hospital with the lineup. This happened. This actually happened.
Don't get me wrong. Popeyes food is really good. I don't think it's 6 hours good.
No. I haven't had Popeyes in years, but yeah.
Their spicy chicken sandwich, like, the hype is actually pretty real.
It really is.
That's really good.
It really is. Yeah, no. That turned their business around. They were tanking, and then that sandwich came out, and everyone's like, oh my God, what have you done? Yeah. It is massive.
They found one thing they did right, and it's like, because it's good. It's good fried chicken. Like, there's, I think, to me, being in Maryland, like, Royal Farms fried chicken is a little bit superior to Popeyes. Popeyes just kind of weird in the way it fries it.
Yeah.
But I mean, as far as chicken sandwich, like, you got Chick-fil-A does some good stuff, but that Popeyes is elite. That's really good.
I heard the name of the restaurant I will not go to. So
yeah, they make good chicken. That's all I'll say. Everything else about them is trash.
Come up here that we don't have them, period.
Again, you're not missing anything.
My nephew wants me to try Jollibee. He sent me the menu for them. There's some new fried chicken place that there's a couple places opened in Northern Virginia where I'm going to be traveling. Can't go there. My wife has gluten issues, and there's not a single thing on their menu that's safe because fried chicken place.
Yeah.
What do you expect? But I'm interested in it because he's like, this is really good food. And I'm like, I've
heard good things about Jollibee.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this place either.
I haven't either.
The one that always makes me laugh is like Bojangles. Because that just sounds so dirty. I don't know why it sounds dirty to me, but Bojangles just sounds dirty.
I know of Bojangles. That's all I can say.
I've never eaten there. I can't stop myself from snickering, so I don't go in.
I only know of it from Good Mythical Morning. Like, that's the only reason.
Same.
There is one thing that you got that I do want, if I ever do, I'm in the States, I want to try, is your A&W, because it's not the same as it is here.
Oh?
No, oh, A&W.
I've heard that.
Yeah, A&W in Canada is a completely different entity.
Why?
Interesting.
Is it that it's a different company?
Yes, they were actually, when they diversified sometime in like the 80s, they were bought by some, the Canadian assets were bought by another company, and they were in a totally different way. Like, I've seen the menu that you guys have, and it's like, hot dogs at A&W? No, that's
not a
thing.
Oh, you're talking the restaurant. I always forget they have restaurants.
Oh, that's right, yeah. I'm thinking, like, Stewart's Root Beer.
I was like, did they do a different root beer?
We do have that, too. The root beer up here apparently is different than the A&W root beer down there, too.
Huh, that's something I remember.
Yeah, I've heard the restaurants are completely different.
We have the burger family up here. The Mama Burger, the Papa Burger, the Uncle Burger, the Teen Burger, the Baby Burger. Like, they have the whole family of burgers.
A lot of burgers.
Just sounds like cannibalism waiting to happen. the family and little stickers on the back of a window, and some guy's going, I could eat my way through that.
When a mommy burger and a daddy burger love each other very much.
I get hungry.
You get a smash burger.
That's right.
Well played. Okay, so fried chicken we've covered. How about burgers? What do you like on your burger?
Remember, I told you I'm boring, right?
Yeah. So you just like a burger.
I know the answer to this already.
No burger at
bacon,
all?
Bacon, cheese, and that's it?
That's fine.
Bacon, cheese is good.
Do you do ketchup or anything, or is it literally just bacon, cheese?
If you can't flavor the hamburger well enough that I need to smother it with ketchup and everything, you haven't done it right.
That's a good point.
Burger can be dry.
Yeah.
That's my reasoning. So it's like,
but again, not if you've done it right.
You got to get some really good meat to make a burger that's not dry, at least a little. Like, I cook it really well, but like there's that natural. You want to cook it to a certain safe temperature, and that just tends to dry out the meat.
Like I said, I'm a little bit spoiled down here. My in-laws are cattle farmer. I've got half of a beef in the freezer right now that's our own.
Cheater! Damn.
Right?
Yeah. Like. I'm a little spoiled.
When I could get deer, I won't deny that the deer burger stayed like moist longer. I don't hunt, so.
Yeah, venison's pretty good. My stepfather used to hunt and bring some home every now and again. It's pretty good.
Yeah, everyone's.
My mom tried to pass deer tacos off on us once, and I will never eat it again because, like, oh, they're just normal tacos. something's wrong with this meat.
It's gamey.
Yeah.
No. And it's like, I would have been okay maybe if they would have gone, hey, here's something new, try it. But they're like, no, this is just tacos, don't worry about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and like, no. Depending upon the deer you have, too, it can get kind of gamey. You kind of have to soak it and do other stuff first. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was one my brother shot. I've got nothing beyond that. So.
That's fair. Okay, let's actually get into the stuff I want to ask you about before you guys got me in all these tangents. So, you came up with prompts. I told you this was going to happen when I asked you guys in for the interview.
Totally fair.
So, Final Fantasy. Why? And I'm not talking like the randomizer. Like, what drew you into the Final Fantasy series itself?
You want to go first, Jay? You want me to?
Sure, why not?
All right. Go for it.
Wait, you gonna go?
No, go for it,
Jay.
Just go. I'm putting you up first.
Okay. I remember being like 4 or 5 years old, and I was the youngest paperboy our town had in order to buy a Super Nintendo.
Mm.
It's like I wanted this thing. I saved up for a 3, 4, whatever months of whatever paper salary I got, and ended up getting a Super Nintendo. Well, our local grocery store had games for rent. I walked by and I saw this game with a Moogle on it and a sword in the title. And that was like absolutely amazing. I spent the next, I don't know how many years, trying to get past Vargas in Final Fantasy 3 or 6, whichever one you want to call it. Like, this game is so fun, but I can't beat it. I'm like 7. And yeah, played that forever. I finally then branched into Final Fantasy 2. In junior high school or so, I kind of went backwards to this series.
Mm-hmm.
We had a gathering place for just teens in the community to spend after school and something, you know, just kind of a place to hang out, whatnot. It was a big early thousands thing. And one of the kids had a copy of Final Fantasy 1. And like, ooh, that's cool. After that place shut down, he never came back to pick it up. Mm-hmm. So I got a copy of Final Fantasy 1 because I was there.
Nice.
And yeah, did that. I finally beat Final Fantasy VI 20 years later. I beat it in 2015. I can remember the day that I did. Like, so many years, I finally beat this stupid game. And going on from there.
So, growing up, we grew up with an Intellivision, first starting out.
Oh, yeah.
First thing I ever owned was an Intellivision. So, oh, yeah. Once I hit about 5 years old, we bought our first Nintendo because my father at the time really wanted one. I didn't actually own a copy of any of the Final Fantasies ever until actually just recently when I bought a copy of Final Fantasy 1. Hmm. But my uncle had bought all of them. So what we would do is I would go over to my grandmother's place where my uncle was, and I'd be like, hey, you want to lend me Final Fantasy 2? And he'd lend me Final Fantasy 2. And there was 4 save slots, one for him, one for one of my older cousins, one for my other cousin, and one for me. So we each had our own save slot, so I didn't have to worry about my game getting deleted. And I can remember playing Final Fantasy 2, or in this case 4, for a very, mm-hmm. very long time, getting really into it. I named my cat after a character in Final Fantasy 2. that's how obsessed I was with it. And then he picked up Final Fantasy 3/6. I remember playing that. And eventually, I got around to picking up the original. And I played a lot of the original. So much so that I actually had my routine down as to what I was going to do. But that game, I never beat Final Fantasy 1 until I think I was in college. Because I would get so far and then get distracted by something, or I would kind of lose interest in it for a while, and then I just kind of faded away. Then I remember my uncle had Final Fantasy VII, which I borrowed and then never gave back, and still have. it's still like the old like dark black PlayStation discs, and mm-hmm. it doesn't have the greatest hits line on it, so it's an original.
Mm.
And then my mother bought me probably I still consider to be the best story-based Final Fantasy ever, Final Fantasy Tactics. And that was just hours and hours and hours playing that game, moving my characters around and learning all the classes and trying to find all the secrets. And yeah, after Final Fantasy 8, because I was really turned off by 8, like 9, 9 was okay. Yeah. I did Final Fantasy 14, the MMO, for a good 2 years until it kind of became like a second job, and I was like, you know what? No, I'm not going to keep doing this. I can't.
Yeah, I got you.
And after that, it was, you know, I guess I'll just play the old games, and lo and behold, I happened upon here. Happened upon the randomizer one day.
I was going to ask how you guys got into the randomizers.
Okay, well, I can... I remember I was at the time at my girlfriend's place, and she was asleep, and I had my phone, and I was... I don't know what... why I found it. I really, really don't. But I happened upon something somewhere that linked me to this Final Fantasy randomizer race. But I remember it was CC and Spellzap in the finals. And I was like, wow, I remember this game. This is cool. And it's like, oh, this is all different. This looks interesting. And then I was like, maybe I can do this. Maybe I can join and I can play. And at that point, I think I played a little bit of Free Enterprise, FF4's randomizer. But I had to make a decision about where I would stay. It's like, I don't really have the time. I don't really want to put in the effort to learn two separate randomizers. So I looked at both of them and said, you know what? I'm better at FFR. So I'm going to stick with FFR. And the rest is kind of history. I lurked around for a while. And then at one point last year, I was like, you know what? I'm going to put myself in the Derby. I'm going to try to race. Well, I did not expect to see where I would be in less than a year's time. That's for sure.
Jay?
Yeah. So I'm one of the COVID people who came in. I remember we were goofing around a lot with the Link to the Past randomizer beforehand. So it's like 2018, 2019. It's like, hey, this is kind of fun. We were playing, learning like the multi-world and where you start in Dark World and go to Light World and all the stuff with it. Like, hey, this is kind of fun. And then one of my friends in real life that he got me into the server, Sunflash, was like, you know they have a Final Fantasy randomizer, right? Like, you cannot randomize. There's no way to randomize that game. Like, it's impossible. It's very linear. You have to go here to here to here. Like, you can't randomize. What are you talking about? What? And then, yeah, so April of 2020, like, the world had shut down. We were out of school. I was sitting there trying to do online classes with my kids and stuff, trying to figure out how to do band online. Never try to get 20 kids to play on Zoom at the same time. It doesn't work. But, yeah. But so I'm like, okay, so I've got to be doing something else, you know, how idle hands and whatnot. So I'm like, okay, download this thing, jump on, join the right before the Duckling Derby. So I got in first Duckling Derby, ended up having to quit out after I think two games or something, had some family issues happen, kind of lurked around, joined up tournaments and some other stuff, finished up the Duckling in 21. And there's kind of like, okay, I'm here now, learned a little bit of tracking, got brought into comms once or twice, which I hate talking to people online, so thank you so much. But then learned the restream with it, and yeah, kind of like Oslotto, like, how did this happen? Like, 4 years later, and oh my goodness.
And you seem to be enjoying it so much. So, yeah,
just a little bit.
Yeah, so it's interesting to hear you guys, though, because, I mean, Tactics and Final Fantasy VII came up eventually, but, like, it seems like a lot of people, like when I asked the question about why Final Fantasy and how Final Fantasy VII is the inciting incident because that game was huge. and don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I didn't play that till college.
It's a good game. It is a good game.
Game.
Ghoul Mike and I have talked it more than once on the podcast. My issue with Final Fantasy VII isn't the gameplay. The gameplay I enjoy for a Final Fantasy. I think the materia system is really cool. Square was in that weird place where, you know, Chrono Cross is the same way, where they just couldn't tell a cohesive story to save their life. So is Final Fantasy VII about, like, the bad evil corporation, or is it about, like, weird mutant experiments, or is it about the live stream, or is it about, like, a meteor coming to it, and what about weapons and everything? Like, there's just every idea you can think of is slapped in there, and at some point they're just like, well, and then you just go kill Sephiroth and we guess the game is over. Like, that's the plot, but that's not really a plot. But
mine with Seven was more just, like, it was way overhyped. Like I said, I didn't play it until college. I didn't play it until, like, 2007, 2008.
Yeah.
And it was way too overhyped, and everyone who I knew who loved it refused to touch the Super Nintendo games because they looked so bad.
Yeah, that's...
And like, okay, they're sprites. It's fine. I love sprites. What's wrong with it? Well, it's not 3D. You know 3D's the thing now, right? Shut up.
I mean, that's something that was a general opinion for like 10 years at that point. Because what was it? The Symphony of the Night, Castlevania? One of the best games ever made. Everyone agrees now it is gorgeous, that game is absolutely legit. You never question how good that game is. And it bombed in the United States when it came out because it wasn't 3D.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy VII was fine. But,
yeah. 7 was fine. Like, yeah. But I will echo exactly what Jay said. A lot of people who started with Final Fantasy VII were just, they would refuse to go back and look at the older games. It's like, for all the flaws that you're talking about for graphics-wise, if you look at Final Fantasy VI or Final Fantasy IV, that's your beginnings, and that's where Nintendo actually kind of could put together a cohesive story.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's the story so much. Exactly. Like I know six is a little bit cliched in the story. Like we'll argue all day long. You know, it's big evil empire. Oh, rebellious group goes up. It's Star Wars. We all know it's Star Wars. Mm-hmm. But it's also like the story is real. It's a thing. And like, spoiler alert, the bad guy wins. Mm-hmm. Like the world gets destroyed. Mm-hmm. What do you do? Good luck.
Yeah, it's Kefka as a villain, I find, is much more fleshed out than any other Final Fantasy villain. He knows what he wants. Like he is he's a consummate nihilist. He thinks life isn't worth living, so I will destroy everything. And then he does it. He succeeds. Mm-hmm. He gets what he wants.
You can argue like, okay, yeah, he was insane, it's all it, but then you've got like, okay, now follow his story arc and follow some of the stuff. Like obviously, I've said now teacher and musician stuff. Go listen to, if none of you have seen it, 8-Bit Music Theory did a really good YouTube video on Kefka's theme and how they like bring in these divine influences and then Kefka's theme and then how it poisons it. Like, all the thought behind it is so great.
Well, one thing that we lost by not getting all the Final Fantasies in order like Japan did, because the original trilogy is just kind of an evolution of ideas and how the system works. But then the Super Nintendo games, they started making those tropes where you had, like, Golbez working for the... and Zeromus, and Zemus at the time, and then Zeromus. And then you had Gilgamesh working for X-Death. And if you were playing through the games and you got to see each of them, you saw, okay, so this guy's getting introduced, and he's going to be a lackey working for the big bad guy. So you're waiting for who Kefka's actually working for, and then when you get into it, he's not working for anyone, and he wins. And you're like, wow, that's like taking the trope and twisting it in such a way that if you've got to play through all of them in order, is actually kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. And they set it up that he's working for the Emperor. Mm-hmm. Like, they've got it all that the Emperor's this big bad thing until he stabs him in the back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything that's set up is like, it's Kefka out for himself. He's working for dudes until he's not. And he's got his own agenda going. The best comparison I've heard to him is like, what if you had took the Joker and then just let the Joker win? So he is a clown. It's what he does. But it's an interesting character. I can't get into Final Fantasy VI. It feels very long and drawn out, especially when you're playing it casually. It's a very long game. And there's it loses me because it keeps shifting focus on the characters and there's no single through line for like the first huge act of the game. And I struggle with it. But I don't deny that as far as bosses are concerned, Kefka's the best. And like the end game for Final Fantasy VI is amazing.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you got like 14 characters and you're trying to give them all screen time, it's ridiculous.
It is. And that's a problem, unfortunately, that Square kind of doubled down on later with Chrono Cross. Let's put in 44 characters and not give them any development.
Right.
Yeah.
Chrono Cross was great. Like but the narrative was so convoluted. Mm-hmm. Too many playable characters, and then to try to tie it all into Chrono Trigger, it's like, guys, Chrono Trigger was a masterpiece. Leave it alone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You either focus on tying it in, or you do your own thing. And 95% of that game is doing its own thing until, like, oh yeah, by the way, Lavos. Like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Why is he back?
Why?
Yeah.
What is this? This is weird. The first time I played through it, I didn't mind so much, but when I went back in to play it a second time, I'm like, God, this is boring. The music is really great. God, this game is boring. Is. Time Scar will always be a legend, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's yeah, totally fair. Totally fair.
No, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So good. So good. Well, we're heading into the last 10 minutes here because I try not to let these things go much past an hour. Everyone needs to save their voices. And I know you guys are actually doing commentary later and probably need to get a drink and some food before then. But so let's kind of bring this home at this point and think about, like, so you guys are part of the community. You guys are, I'm assuming, friends now, not just, like, frenemies dealing with the show
together.
Absolutely. Co-workers.
So what do you guys see as your vision for, like, the next couple years? Final Fantasy or whatever? What are you guys looking forward to?
Oh. Hard-hitting questions here.
I mean...
First the sandwiches and now this, damn it!
Yeah, come on!
I mean, I was surprised that we were allowed to put it bluntly, become the face of the randomizer. Like, no, very, very few runners go on webcam, and I don't know of anyone that does it every week to an audience that actually is there specifically to hear me and Jay talk about the community, the randomizer, what's going on. I mean,
no, let's be fair, they're there to hear about our guests, but you know.
Mm. Well, that's true. They're there for the ad reads, that's for sure. But
yeah, where's your ad moods? Ad reads, come on.
I mean, to be honest, I will do this as long as Jay's interested and as long as the community allows me to do it. I mean, there's so many things that we can do with this. There's many ideas that we have, and I've said this multiple times. The randomizer was there when I had some rough stuff going on in my life, and it was a great way to just turn my brain off and just focus on something else. And when I made the decision that this is the community I was going to stick with, it was, you know what, I'm going to try to do whatever I can to try to make it a better place. And as long as they're going to list doing it, I'm going to keep running with this. And, you know, I hope that people tune in. I hope that people actually enjoy it. They want to get involved in it. I hope that we get some spinoffs. I would love to see people come on, trial an idea, and spin it off into something else.
Yeah. I don't want to just say, yeah, everything he said, ditto, but it really is. It is spending 4 years in a community, kind of getting to know people, being, like, accepted from everyone, like, hey, yeah, you can do this, you can do that. It's like, I don't know if I've stuck with something for 4 years that you don't get that kind of community support and stuff with. And so, like, if I can do anything for anyone else or continue on, like, I know we both ran for admin and stuff, but, like, getting into the admin position, being able to be behind the scenes and, like, okay, we can actually maybe help or do something here. So I'm going to ignore you guys as much as I can. And until you guys tell me to shut up, we're going.
Well, I mean, you were voted as the admin. And then what, a few hours later, they decided to give me your old job.
I was going to say that it is nice to have a show out there that isn't, like, the admins.
So I get to annoy them too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is nice to just have a show that isn't the admins say blah blah, you know. We get other people in. Now, it is true, Jay, you got voted in as an admin afterwards. So, but the show was plotted before then, so it's not the admin talk show. It's a couple fans of Final Fantasy Randomizer doing a talk show. So yeah. And
I wanted to make sure that was a thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Anyone could have done it, and this was all set up before either of us had even put in our name or got put in our names, got it, you know, nominated for admin. Like,
for sure.
This was in the works long before that.
No, we started this before winter tournament started. Like, we were in planning when this was done. Like, that was even before there was a rumbling, at least in my way of looking at things, that there needed to be an admin election, you know?
Yeah.
So no, we having one of us as an admin and one of us as a mod, it doesn't change the format. It doesn't change how we do things. We're still there basically to highlight the community, to have some fun, to have some interviews, you know, just to promote the server and the randomizer as a whole. Like, this is it's a great community. You should come join it. Like, don't, by all means, you don't look at me as an example as to what you can become, but in the year it was, literally the Derby was when I joined, when I started really getting into it. That was a year ago. In a year, I've gone from being a duckling and coming in fourth place in the Derby to then joining Bubble Soda Co., doing Fall League, planning on the winter tournament, starting the first Final Fantasy Randomizer broadcast show, and becoming one of the a restreamer and a moderator. The community will help you go as far as you think you can, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah. And the show supports new voices and new faces and new people coming on with the interview guests you have to bring focus to everyone in it. I really appreciate it just for that alone, just the mm-hmm. community aspect of it. And
yeah.
Yeah, and then other people can go on, so I don't have to show my face.
I think it's cool, too. Like, it's questions, and it's a conversation. Mm-hmm. It's not just like, you know, we can get together on a Tuesday and talk about Final Fantasy because we're nerds. But I mean, it's really cool to, like, sit down and, like, listen to some actual poignant questions, you know, that comes from the community. They want to come out and watch. They want to see you guys do your thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really super cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Jay will agree to this, but when I took a look and looked at the YouTube numbers, and it's like, Jay, we have over 100 views. We have over 100 views, dude. Like, where did this come from? Like, I didn't see that coming. I did not. Mm, like, I mean,
there's only 60 on episode 2. We're slacking.
But we had a lot more people on the live show that day. A lot of people tuned in to talk to the Dawns.
Yeah.
Luffy, you're a big draw.
I mean, you know what? It's not just me. Saracen was there too. I think they're there for the ad. So my quick question before we get out of here, what was the driving force and kind of the ideas behind the ad breaks? Because you guys said ad breaks and new ad breaks. I'm like, what are they doing? Because I missed week one because I had a lot going on with work. So I got to see week two happen, but I couldn't hear because of where we were. And I can't wait to watch it back and actually hear the ads themselves. But what was the idea? What was the inspiration behind that?
Oh my! Oh, I remember we talked about doing something for the transition because we said we're gonna need a little bit of time between the intro and the guest, and then between the guest and the outro. And I believe did it start as another joke?
Everything has started as a joke. Like literally everything has started as a joke.
Because if I remember correctly, if I go back,
planning channel look.
Yeah, so I was going to say, in the planning channel, I'm pretty sure that it was brought up very early on. And it started off as a bit of a lark. It's like, oh, we're going to do some ads. It's like, well, and the joke between me and Jay is that I wonder if when we say on the stream, hey, we'll be right back after these messages from our sponsor, if people are going to think, did FFR sell out? No, we didn't. No, the thing is that, you know, we did it. I think it was originally done because we needed something in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. And at that point, it was like, well, we obviously don't want to just get, you know, put actual ads in there. It's something that we want it kind of a halfway in between thing. And the joke.
Yeah. The entire reason is we needed a way to transition from the screen with two cameras to the screen with three or four or whatever. Mm-hmm. And okay, let's stop. The guests haven't been talking yet. We can go on. We can do a quick mic check while they're not listening, you know? So a 45 second minute ad break ish to give us that chime to get ready. For anyone who hasn't seen them or doesn't know, we took like situations from the game and tried making ads for the various characters in the game or the various situations that happen in the game. So it's crazy.
Yeah, and it really kind of all came together faster than we expected. Like, if we go back to the 25th of March, we already had 22 ideas that we were going to roll with.
Mm. Yep.
And that right there gave us the idea. It's like, okay, we're going to roll with this. FFR presents the OJ Comedy Hour, playing FFR and cracking bad jokes. That's how everything started. And the bad jokes, I believe, morphed into, you know, Final Fantasy Randomizer brought to you by, And that's kind of where that snowballed. And then we started with, okay, I think it was like, Jay, you get things worked out on the year end with the music and stuff. I'll go and write some ads, and we'll see if we can get people to read for them.
Yep.
Yeah, that was my next question. So we had the guest appearance by, you know, our one and only Lady of the Nuclear Spiders, Danny, as Princess Sarah. Do you guys have planned to have some other guests do some reads as well coming up?
So you want to read an ad?
we do put it out there all the time that we're always looking for people who want to read ads. I have a lot of them done. I believe there is as a sneak preview, there's going to be some Garland ads coming on very soon.
Nice.
Yep. Working on them this weekend.
Yeah, we have that planned. There's been a couple suggestions from the community. So definitely want to do that. When we did the Princess Sarah one, I was like, Jay, I don't think your voice or my voice is going to be able to do this. I really don't. So we had to call on somebody, and it's like, do you think Danny would do it? Do you think we can convince her?
We pulled her in for like 30 seconds. It's like, hey, nothing to this, just read this for us. And she did. We're like, okay, now can we get you to actually officially record this? It's hilarious.
Yeah, it was perfect. Yeah, it was more or less like, why'd you guys call me in this room? Okay, read this. What is it? Just read it. And then Jay's, of course, laughing hysterically. It's like, Jay, just calm down. We can't have Danny laughing while she's reading this. And it took a little bit to get started on that. But once she read it, she's like, okay, I'll record it.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Awesome. There will be a few other ones that we have written. There's a PSA that I wrote. There's an ad for a law firm that we're trying to get done.
I know there's some pharmaceutical commercials.
Yeah, there is some pharmaceutical ads coming. The political ads are on there too. I think there's a construction company that's going to get billing in there too.
Yep,
nice.
So we're not running out of stuff just yet for ads. But again, I mean, we're always out there asking the community what they think. Hey, do you want to do some ad reads? Do you want to be a guest? Do you have an idea for a show that you want to, you know, you want to come on and talk about something? And I mean, even promoting other community, even cross promotions, like get a guy from FF from Free Enterprise on there, talk about their randomizer, because the more people that come and view the show are people that may check out the Discord and then they join, and then hey, more people.
Very true. Neat. All right, guys, well, it's been over an hour. I should let you guys vacate so you can get ready for your next thing. It's been great having you on the show.
Yeah, thanks. We appreciate it. We really do.
This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G. The orange sponsors may hopefully not pull their sponsorship. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
And Mike the Ghoul. I'll be back soon doing some other fun stuff. Thanks for joining us, friend.
And we will see you all next time.